Words are very powerful. They can either build us up or tear us down. Every day we can encourage others with words like, "You're special, good job," or "Keep trying, you're gonna make it." Now, those words that I've just said are actually from Christian music singer Steve Green, and he recorded those on his children's album, Hide 'Em in Your Hearts, Bible, Memory Melodies, Volume Number 2, that was released back in 1992. And the song that ends up being sung is called Encourage One Another, and that comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. It says, "Encourage one another and build each other up." And so maybe you remember those albums, Hide 'Em in Your Heart, and we've recently introduced them to our little boys in our home. Really good songs that have scripture as the words, put to catchy songs. So why talk about encouragement? This is what we'll be considering this morning. First, our current circumstances do weigh heavy on us. In many ways, they are discouraging. We're feeling trapped, isolated, we're frustrated, perhaps bordering on hopelessness and despair. And yet, at the same time, as we're going through these circumstances, there are things that are encouraging us. And one of those is seeing the Spring Folly Live this past Friday night. That was encouraging. I, though, miss being, this would be the Sunday where I know your congregation would be at Cass, and I've been there many of those Sundays and fellowshipping together. So, but it was encouraging on Sunday night to have that reminder about Spring Folly. But a second reason of talking about encouragement this morning is that I've been impressed over the years with reading Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. And his first letter in particular is full of encouragement. So Paul would use words like encourage and exhort, comfort and urge. Those words are found several times in that first letter to the Thessalonian church. And so here are a couple of definitions of the word encourage. And number one is this: encourage means to support, to give confidence, hope, or comfort. And this first definition is one of comfort, that when life is difficult, we do need the encouragement of others. And so I know people in our churches are going through difficult times, financial, health. We can encourage them. We can pray. We can give a phone call. We could send a text message. We could send a card. And we can include a word of encouragement. And there are really many ways that we can comfort people. But a second definition of encourage is to give support so that someone will do or continue to do something. And so this second definition is like lighting a fire under somebody. Paul tells the Thessalonians to do some things more and more. He wanted to give them a jump start. He wanted to fuel their appetite for the things of God. And so one example is that in our home we have a small group Bible study that meets through the years at times. And just before members of our small group would come over, we would encourage, light a fire under our kids so that they would clean up their toys so that our living room was ready for our small group Bible study. And so we strongly encourage them to do something. So that's another sense of the word encourage. Let's get a bit of context before we look closely at a few sections of 1 Thessalonians. Let's get a bit of a context for Paul writing this letter to the Thessalonians. And so if you do have a Bible and would like to follow along, it would be in Acts chapter 17 is where we'll start. So getting a bit of context for why is Paul writing this letter to this church in Thessalonica. So let's read Acts chapter 17, and we'll read the first 10 verses. So we'll start with Acts 17, starting at verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them. And they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. And the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And so we see here from these verses that in the middle of trouble, conflict, distress, and shameful treatment, that Paul and Silas, they were explaining the gospel to the Thessalonians, who did receive the word of God in the midst of these hard times and this suffering. So this is the context for why Paul is then writing this letter to this group in Thessalonica. So if you would again like to follow in your Bible, we'll be jumping around a little bit in the letter to the first Thessalonians, but you can turn there. And we see again, just like we read in Acts, that Paul says, well, you know, I shared the gospel with you. And so this is what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, "Though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict." And so they had conflict in Philippi. When they came to Thessalonica, they had conflict there as well. Chapter 2, verse 9 continues. It says, "We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God." So Paul here says, yeah, we shared the gospel with you. And you know, we as Christians, we are and we should be encouraged by the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. So wherever Paul went, he boldly proclaimed the gospel. And what is this good news? What is this salvation message that we read that turned the world upside down? So back in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 4 and 5, Paul wrote this. He said, "For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." Just further down in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it continues. Paul said, "How you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Just that reference to idols, how you turn to God from idols. One theologian years ago, he said this, "Every one of us is, even from our mother's womb, a master craftsman of idols, that our hearts are idol-making factories." And Paul, he wrote another letter to the Romans, and in there he said this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. They exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator." And so we replace the proper place that God should have in our lives with idols, things that we make more important than God. But again, as Paul said, that they turn from those idols to serve the living and true God, that Jesus is the one who delivers us from the wrath to come, from ultimate danger. And this is certainly encouraging to us, this good news. And it's this, that those who have placed their faith in Jesus, that they're saved right now from the penalty of their sin, that our sin has been dealt with on the cross, that Jesus died in our place, taking the punishment that we deserved, so that we will be spared what our sins would otherwise deserve, because a holy God cannot look on sin. But Jesus was sacrificed on the cross in our place to pay the debt of our sin, and so that we can be forgiven and have the guilt of our sin removed. This is what we celebrate as we remember the Lord in communion, the Lord's Supper. And this is good news. This should encourage us. This is what our great God has done for us. And Paul, in this letter to the Thessalonians, he reminds them of this great hope, that having had our sins dealt with, that Jesus lives with us now, and Jesus is coming again, and one day we will go to be with the Lord. Look at these verses from several chapters in this letter. Chapter 1, verse 10 says this, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. So this reminder, Jesus is coming again. Chapter 3, verse 13, it says that he may establish your hearts, this is God, blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 17 says, so we will always be with the Lord. As Christians, this is our hope, that we will always be with the Lord. Chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. So Paul encourages the Thessalonians with these words, and actually two times he says right after some of these words that he wanted to encourage them. He said in chapter 4, verse 18, therefore encourage one another with these words. And chapter 5, verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So we have a future. We have a hope. And we can encourage one another with these words. He is with us now. One day he will come back for us, and we will be with him forever. So these words of the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, that he is with us, and that we live for him now, you know, we should be encouraged by these words, and I trust you are. And if you have been encouraged, if the gospel gives you hope and confidence, then I would say to you, be an encourager yourself. Be an encourager. Now, William Wilberforce, he was the man who spent his life working for the abolishment of slavery in Great Britain. And early in his attempt to abolish slavery, he became very discouraged. But he knew a great man of faith by the name of John Wesley. And Wesley was at the end of his life. He was 88 years of age. And William Wilberforce, he was in his early 30s. But Wesley, in the last few days of his life, he heard about this discouragement that William Wilberforce was facing. And with a trembling hand, it was just 6 days before he died, he asked for a piece of paper and he took a pen in his hand. And John Wesley wrote these words to William Wilberforce. He said this, unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might, till even American slavery shall vanish away. Wesley died 6 days later, but Wilberforce took this word of encouragement and this challenge, and he fought for 45 more years. And in 1833, 3 days before his own death, William Wilberforce saw slavery abolished in Great Britain. The power of a word spoken at the right time. Do you know people like that? Do you know some people in your life that speak encouraging words to you? People that you think, I hope that they come my way, or I hope they have some time that they can spend with me? Paul was that to the Thessalonians. Look at that first chapter, verse 2. It says, Paul says this, "We give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers." An encouraging word. You know, being in full-time ministry for a church brings so many different experiences. Walking alongside people in the joys of life and also in the sorrows. Being criticized for certain decisions and then praised for others. But I'm so thankful for those who encourage, who take the time to send an encouraging email or an encouraging text message. Or they share that they've been praying for me. And that shows the power of encouraging words that we can carry on in the joys and sorrows of life. Now, Paul also wanted to give them encouragement. This is to the Thessalonians. Encourage them to continue in the things of God about which that they had learned. And so in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12, listen to these words. "For you know," Paul says, "how like a father with his children, we encouraged each one of you, we encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Just hear that Paul's heart as a father with his children. Continue, walk in a worthy manner of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, he says, "Brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more." Continue. He wanted to encourage them to keep doing that. And then further down in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing, but we urge you, brothers and sisters, do this more and more." Can you hear the encouragement from Paul to this church? So let us be brothers and sisters that speak words of encouragement into people's lives. You know, I think I don't do this enough. And when I think about it, I should do it, but then I need to act on that. We need to encourage other people to grow in godliness. Let's continue to do that. Now, some would say that the king of the comics is Peanuts. That's by Charles Schulz. Linus, Lucy, Peppermint Patty, Pigpen, Snoopy, and of course, Charlie Brown. Now, there's a ring of reality to the relationships that they have with each other. And this is how one sequence unfolds. Linus, he's written a comic strip of his own, and he wants Lucy's opinion. And so in the first frame of this comic, Linus, he hesitates as he hands Lucy his comic strip, and he says, "Lucy, would you read this and tell me if you think it is funny?" And so in the next frame, you see Lucy patting her foot, and a little bit of a grin comes across her face. She looks at Linus, and she says, "Well, Linus, who wrote this?" And Linus, with chest heaved out and a great big grin, says, "Lucy, I wrote that." In the next frame, you see Lucy wadding it up and throwing it to the side and saying, "Well, then I don't think it's very funny." And in the final frame, you see Linus picking up his comic strip, throwing his blanket over his shoulder, looking at Lucy and saying, "Big sisters are the crabgrass in the lawn of life." And we find that humorous, but likely if you and I thought long enough that we'd remember being in the crabgrass in somebody else's life, that we have said some discouraging words. But you know, none of us goes out, you know, "Today I want to be a discouragement to somebody else." But if we're not careful, we can find that we can be more pessimistic than optimistic, that we can be more discouraging than encouraging. But we need to see the good in people, and people need it so much, and even more so now. One pastor, he said this, "I've never met a person that I could give up on. Never. When I keep my eyes on where I'd be apart from the grace of God working in me, I must see people in terms of what God is making them and not what they are." Is that what you see? Philippians 1:6 says, "He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." And he continues, "There's nothing worse than somebody showing up when you're halfway through the job and putting an inspection tag on it." So let's let God do his work in one another and encourage what he is developing. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 and 15 says this, "We urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish or warn the idle. Yes, encourage, though, the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." Proverbs 3:27 says this, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." So I ask you, have you been encouraged? Have you been encouraged? And if you are a Christian, then you know I would venture and say that definitely you have been encouraged. The good news of Jesus Christ encourages. It gives us hope. It gives us comfort in this life and for the life to come. And so I challenge you that since you have been encouraged, that you would be an encourager. I challenge you to be an encourager. Read through the book of 1 Thessalonians and just soak in Paul's words of encouragement to this church. And then I say, who can you encourage? Who can you be an encouragement to? Is there someone right now that you're thinking of that could use some encouragement? They're struggling. They need a word of comfort. Could you get in touch with them? Send them a card. Pick up the phone. Or perhaps is there somebody that you know that they're doing something good for the Lord and you can encourage them to keep doing that they would do that more and more. This, again, is what Paul did for this church, the Thessalonians. Now here's a final encouragement for us all. It's a benediction, and that word benediction is a Latin word. Bene means good, and diction means word. So here is a good word, a blessing, again from Paul, first in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. And I say this to you, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. And then in the last chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. And so I want to encourage you, Island Bible Chapel, continue on this mission that God has given to you in whatever the circumstances that you are facing. God who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm going to use part of a prayer by a guy named Scotty Smith, and this is recorded in his book, Everyday Prayer. So let me close in prayer. Jesus, make me a much more refreshing person. Fill my heart with your mercy. Give me gospel eyes to see others as you see them. Sensitize my spirit with your spirit. Free me from working hard just to get my to-do list done, that I might work hard at bringing refreshment to others. Jesus, please make me aware today of those who really need encouragement, some reason to hope, a concrete manifestation of care It may simply be a call, an email, a text, some small thing that will bring a prophet beyond my imagining. Jesus, you searched hard to find me, and you did. You've broken my chains, and you've borne my shame. May I offer a refreshing taste of your kindness to others today, no matter what their chains are. And I pray in your loving and liberating name, amen.